In pocket, gunpowder. I'm gonna use it. Intention. Motion, restrained emotion. I've been diving, detailing, no reason. Just seems so pleasing.
Next, release the Escambia County Commissioners Lumen May, Robert Bender, and Jeff Burgosh. Come forward and surrender.
Thank you, Brent and Chief Deputy. I understand that the sheriff is not here. Because Biden is here, and he may get deported if he shows up.
Oh, see, now that's an immigration law joke, if you didn't catch it. That's Lumen May, chairman of the Escambia County Commission, District 3 representative. And it was kind of interesting last night for the surrender of the city ceremony, which is the kickoff for Fiesta when, you know, Don Tristan de Luna comes into town. And in this case, bolstered for the first time that I can remember by an actual Navy, the Elcano. I mean, the Spanish Navy is here in support of the invasion. So he was there last night, the captain of the boat. I got to talk to him a little bit. Anyway, so if you're not familiar with this, the kickoff to Fiesta always begins this way where, you know, the Don Tristan de Luna comes and then we surrender. You know, you have representatives from the city and the county and the sheriff's department and the police department all get up there. And it used to be at Seville Quarter where they would parade them through like prisoners in chains, you know, and they had these fake plastic chains and, you know, ball weights on them and everything. They don't do that anymore. I think it's a loss, but, you know, okay, fine. I guess it was deemed that would be, you know, somehow culturally insensitive to have that. But, you know, again, I thought it was all part of the show, which is one of these great Pensacola traditions of campy, silly, fun, historical drinking. There's always drinking involved in these things. Anyway, so that was Commissioner Lumen May making the joke about, you know, the DeSantis immigration law. And he continues, as is the norm, Lumen was the funny one. In fact, when it's kind of funny because I was talking to Jeff Burgosh and Robert Bender right before the thing started. And that's also weird, too. It's typically only one commissioner who is at least in the official procession. It's usually the chairman. And I'm like, where's Lumen? They're like, he's coming. I'm like, good, because he's the funny one. And he is. I mean, he's the one with the quick wit.
So thank you so much. And this key that we're presenting will unlock your boot at Collier Merrill's parking lot and all of the city council so everybody can park free tonight. Yeah!
Red parking, you're the baddest. Let's go!
Free parking at Collier Merrill's. That's funny because they're good friends, but, you know, he's a Democrat and Collier is a Republican. He always makes fun of him, but, you know, it's funny. So we had Eric Randall, who was the chief of police for the Pensacola Police Department, of course.
Through calm, through storms, we protect and defend these most precious golden rings. In the name of Don Tristan de Luna lies the treasure within.
The golden donut rings. That the PPD, the Pensacola Police Department, Krispy Kreme, that he offered to the incoming conquering Spaniard. That was funny. Tommy Leiter, former PPD chief, but of course now is the chief deputy at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office.
I have two challenge coins from Sheriff Chip Simmons himself. They're carrying them in his front pocket for about 30 days, so you can get something on eBay.
Two challenge coins kept in Chip's pocket for 30 days. You can sell them on eBay.
If at the end of your drunken debauchery and find yourself in jail, I have a key. You have to smuggle it in if you need to figure out how. I'll draw you a picture.
I've got a key in case you get arrested after your drunken debauchery and you're in jail. The key will get you out of jail, but it's on you to smuggle it in. If you're not sure how, I'll draw you a picture.
And that's where it got awkward this year.
I don't understand. Why is that awkward? Okay. Fair enough. And then David Stafford, who is kind of funny. David's a supervisor of elections, and David's a pretty funny fellow, too. But his funny this year focused on not this year, but next year after Fiesta and a couple of, about almost a year is going to pass.
We must, as soon as these 10 days are over, redouble our efforts to prepare for the battle that is coming to the state of Florida next March, when two of our most famous residents will do battle to see who can face off against our commander-in-chief in November of next year.
That's a Trump-DeSantis battle off next March in the presidential preference primary to get to see who's going to obviously go up against President Biden. And then finally, and it wouldn't really be finally without this, but, you know, the Navy is always the last to surrender. And I remember last year when Terry Shashadi Village, the CEO at NES Pensacola, he did not like this at all. even for a local tradition that's, you know, obviously super tongue-in-cheek, the Navy just doesn't like to surrender anything ever for any reason, even symbolically.
Ladies and gentlemen, the commanding officer of Naval Air Station Pensacola, Captain
So, if you recall, last year was my first time here, and as a military man, as a Navy man, I made it quite clear that I would not surrender a damn thing.
Not like that. But, this time around...
However, we've spent the last year dealing with a lot of, let's say, fun stuff, trying to figure out how to do so and invite you on board. So, what I would like to do tonight is actually give you a key to the base via the West Gate from the hours of 09 to 3. Please don't bring any weapons, contraband, backpacks, or anything like that. Starting tomorrow, all you need is a single ID, not a real ID or a passport. So I'd like to offer this a key to the West Gate for you, your queen, and your aide, as well as your crew.
A special key that lets only you and everyone else in at the back gate of NAS Pensacola, which has been kind of a thing. They're really emphasizing the back gate. Apparently, people are going to the front gate, and that's causing a lot of issues for access to the base for the people who work there. They won't let you through to the back gate. They won't let you through to the museum. If you go in the front gate, you do have to go in the back off of Blue Angel. Do go in that way. And they have really had some issues with this in the last couple of days where it's been a problem. The first day where Blue Angels was there wasn't really that big of a problem. Like, that was kind of a thought, is like, let's have the problem there. That hasn't been the issue. The issue now is that people are going to the front gate. Like, come on, man. Now, that a lot, it's not likely mostly you. It's mostly visitors and out-of-towners. So to the degree that you're able to do that, you know, when you have people coming into town, be sure to tell them to go to the back gate, not the front. And, you know, where they're working with Google to kind of fix all of that stuff. But, you know, since that's just the one key for Don Tristan DeLuna and his cohort.
But that's not all. I feel like I'm selling something on TV. Would you mind holding this? So, again, NAS Pensacola is open for business when it comes down to public visitation. So not only does the crew of Don Tristan DeLuna get access, but I'm going to feel like Oprah right now. You get a key! You get a key! You get a key!
And he's throwing plastic keys into the crowd.
Everybody gets a key! Thank you.
And, of course, it wouldn't be the kickoff to Fiesta if you didn't have the official.
Are you ready? Is the city of Pensacola ready? Say it with me. Hey, Dicho! You are free to celebrate Fiesta!
Yay! And it's hurricane season. 519 on News Radio 92.3. That's today, by the way. And, of course, to start hurricane season, we have a little blob of blobbiness out in the Gulf. I was watching Alan Strom last night explain this, and I had thought it was sort of headed east, but I think that was only my brain filling in the way they had drawn the diagram on the NOAA map. But he says it's going to kind of sit, and then it's going to move to the south. And if it forms, it forms, but it forms moving south. So, weird system. It's mostly expected to produce rain for us, you know, which is, you know, good. It's been dry, but not likely to have a big impact here. But, you know, obviously you always keep an eye on these things. 519 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Wait, you get looking. You're hot.
It's like looking in a mirror, only not.
I put it to rights.
Well, let's hope that's not the case, because today the opponents of SB 1718, the anti-illegal immigrant bill that Governor DeSantis signed into law two weeks ago, they are calling for people to not work today in order to show us what a day without an immigrant would look like. So I think the purpose of the law is to have people who are undocumented here in the state of Florida not be here and not work. So if what they're saying is all people who are immigrants not to work, that's kind of weird because there's just all kinds of immigrants. But if they're saying for people who are here illegally not to work, it seems like what their form of protest is, protest this law by obeying this law, which is kind of weird to me, but we'll see how it turns out. 523 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Former Vice President Mike Pence reportedly planning to announce a 2024 presidential campaign next week. The Hill reporting that his team is currently finalizing plans to launch a campaign for the presidential nomination on June 7th. He joins a growing field of candidates. The U.S. and Taiwan signing their first deal under a new trade talk framework. The two governments started their own trade talks last August after the U.S. excluded Taiwan from the larger Indo-Pacific economic framework. Taiwan's Office of Trade Negotiations says the first agreement under the new framework is set to be signed this morning in Washington. And a race fan that was at the Indy 500 apparently getting a new vehicle after a flying tire landed on her car.
Scary.
Oh, my goodness.
Have you seen the video of the tire flying off of this car? It's horrifying.
Wow.
Misses the crowd by, like, I don't know, 30 feet maybe?
Yeah, flies over top of the grandstand, lands on this car.
Did you see the car also, by the way?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It doesn't look like it's all that badly damaged.
Well, it doesn't take much, though.
But, I mean, it's like the front quarter panel basically got ding, you know, like I would have thought it would have done worse, but okay, go ahead.
Speedway owner Penske Entertainment says they're going to be providing the owner of that vehicle with a brand new car for their troubles.
Okay, hear me out, all right? You're a race fan. You go to the Indianapolis 500, one of the greatest races there ever is, and you go, and there's one of these most horrifying wrecks where nobody actually gets hurt, which is the kind you want, right? You want big spectacle, nobody hurt, okay? I mean, you don't want it, but trust me, that's what everybody's watching. And so then your car gets what I will call minor front-end damage. Wouldn't you want to keep that car and drive it and brag? Oh, what happened to your car? Let me tell you. Like, that's the greatest story of your life, right? But no, she's going to get rid of that car and get it. Maybe she'll get to keep that car and get a new one. Now, if that's the deal, that's the deal, then I'm in. And she probably makes a museum out of it in her front yard. At least that's what they would do here in Florida. David, thanks so much for the update. 525. That's a parking on the grass joke, by the way. 525 on News Radio 92.3. David was mentioning that we're now going to have Mike Pence. And of course, you know, the news yesterday, I won't say big, it seems sizist, that Chris Christie was going to get into the race. I couldn't resist. Anyway, so in the Republican field, what you've got right now is you got Governor DeSantis, one out of 100 times I try to say it his way, Larry Elder, who is a talk show host, Nikki Haley, you know, who's done many things, Asa Hutchinson, who, unless you follow politics, you were like, who? You got Donald Trump, of course, Tim Scott, senator from South Carolina, which is an interesting one, Nikki Haley being from South Carolina, and Vivek Ramaswamy, a political activist and speaker. Now, in the debates, depending on what they make as the threshold for being on the stage, Larry Elder and Vivek Ramaswamy are going to be rock stars in these debates because that's what they do for a living, is they talk. And they're both very, very good at it. So it's going to be interesting to hear them debating against people who are, though articulate, they're not them. Okay. And so Tim Scott and Nikki Haley, who are both very good at public speaking, and, you know, Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump is Donald Trump, you know. Okay. So that's interesting. Now you got Chris Christie. I don't know what he's thinking. I don't know who's getting paid to tell him that he has a chance in this race, because he is the rhinoest of all rhinos, if you ask Republicans. But okay, here he goes, former governor of New Jersey. And Mike Pence, who, of course, probably also has no chance whatsoever. But I love the man dearly. I think he's a solid person, obviously a committed Christian and conservative. And then you got all these possibles. Okay, you got people like Chris Sununu, the governor of, what is it, New Hampshire, I think? Is that right? Anyway, and he's a sharp guy, too. Unfortunately, nobody's ever heard of him. Francis Suarez, who exactly? Christy Noem, governor of South Dakota, and Doug Durham, who is the governor of North Dakota. You say what? Okay. Liz Cheney, they're speculating on NBC. Oh, please. Please let Liz Cheney get in this race. I mean, what would she pull? Like an eighth of a percent? Maybe. I mean, that would be wild, okay? Glenn Youngkin, and then also John Bolton. That's kind of an interesting one because I think John Bolton is also a no way in hell kind of candidate. But John's another one of these guys, like long resume. He clearly knows foreign policy. He's very interesting as a speaker. He certainly doesn't shy away from anything. And he would be a very interesting wrench in the works in terms of on the debates. If you had, John Bolton up there. So I don't know how many of these people are going to get in, but I'll give you the analysis that I've given so many times. The more that are in, the more it benefits Trump, period. Because the Trump voting bloc is solid. They're going to vote for Trump. It doesn't matter what the news is. It doesn't matter what he ever says or anything else that happens. They're going to vote for him. And that's a solid, well, who knows? Maybe it's 20 to 30% of the Republican electorate. Maybe more. We don't know. But somewhere in that vicinity, probably. So everybody else then splits the remaining 70%. The more ways you split it, the smaller it is. All he's got to do is be one plus the best next. And if they're all splitting it, then, you know, even if DeSantis gets 28%, that's a lose, right? And so anyway, it's going to be interesting what happens between here and next spring when we start doing these primaries. 528 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have? Oh, we haven't talked about this an awful lot, but it is an interesting story. There's an execution scheduled to take place. It's now back on here in the state of Florida. And this is a guy who was convicted of two different murders. One, Georgiana Warden, who was bludgeoned to death with a hammer and sexually assaulted in her Boca home back in May of 1984. And then also, and it's sentenced to death for that, and then also sentenced to death in March of that same year for the murder of a juvenile, 14-year-old Karen Slattery, who was babysitting in a Delray Beach home, and he stabbed her to death. Okay, so two separate murders, and he was convicted of both of them. Both of them carry the death penalty. The problem is that he's now 62 years old and apparently showing some signs of cognitive decline. And the defense had raised the issue that he doesn't understand what happened. He doesn't know what's going on. He's no longer criminally culpable, and so you can't execute him. And so when they put in this petition, the governor said, well, okay, let's evaluate him. We'll put that on hold. We'll stay the order to execute until you can evaluate him. They evaluated him and came back and said he does have the mental capacity to understand the nature of the death penalty and the reason that it's being imposed upon him. So DeSantis has now put the death order back into place, and he's going to be executed. That's kind of, and which I think is right for the governor. It's right to take a pause and make sure the case holds. It does. And so now the execution is scheduled again. David Wayne will have your local news coming up next after Fox.
Actually calling all churches in Escambia County. We're going to extend it to Baldwin and to Santa Rosa County as well, but we're going to have a places of worship preparedness seminar. And so basically what we're trying to do is to get the church to take care of their folks, the folks that are in their congregations.
That's a really good plan. That's Travis Tompkins. He's the emergency manager. And which it's kind of funny. When I was introducing Eric Gilmore yesterday, this is kind of the setup to his interview. I kind of mash together a bunch of the acronyms. EMS is the Emergency Medical Service. That's the response for healthcare needs. ECFR is Escambia County Fire Rescue. That's the fire department needs. And he's the emergency manager. So he's like the EM, except that the EM is different. It's manager, not medical. But anyway, the point is the boss of all of these organizations, okay, the overseer of all of these organizations, who has been a fireman for forever, a volunteer fireman, and who has also been the emergency manager prior to Travis Tompkins, that's Eric Gilmore. He's the director of public safety, so he oversees like all of the 911 response, all of that kind of stuff. Anyway, Eric joined me yesterday. Eric, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, Andrew, thank you very much. Good job on getting your acronyms right.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I knew as soon as I said the wrong one, I'm like, oh, I got to correct this. All my guys are going to be like, Andrew. So, all right, so this is not the main reason I wanted to have you on, but because, of course, we were hanging out yesterday for the pre-hurricane season briefing, the media get-together yesterday. I wanted to give you a chance to tell people just the basic, in case they hadn't been thinking about it, we are a day away from hurricane season. And particularly for a couple of years now, you and I have been telling people that the new standard is not 72 hours. The new standard is 7 days, right?
That is absolutely correct. Hurricane season is one day away, and it is 6 long months. So it'll end November 3rd. So I want everybody to remember that, because everybody seems to think I get through September or October, we're done. That's not the case. And we are asking everybody not to be 70. This, you know, first 72 is on you. That's no longer the slogan. It's 1 week ready. We're asking everybody to be 1 week ready. Have all your supplies, non-perishables, medications, things you need to be successful, to make it through and recover from a disaster. So 1 week ready is what we're asking.
You know, I hate to tell you this, but I know you already know it's true. The first 72 is on you is catchy. 1 week ready is not catchy.
It is. Yeah, I get you. I get you. You're right. It's pretty catchy. But 72 hours is kind of a it could be, just depending on the size of the storm or how bad we're impacted, it could put it on a resource coming in. And we might make that 2 hour window. So that's why we ask everybody to be 1 week ready. I mean, even after Sally, and Sally was not a major hurricane, we still had issues with flooding to the east, not only the barges and the bridges, but the flooding of the interstate. The resources are coming from the east to the west. They were, 48 hours delayed because they had to trek up through Alabama and Georgia and come back down. It could impact our delivery system for our resources coming in for recovery.
Nothing will remind us, or people in general, how vulnerable our area is to weather. And a reminder that we live on a peninsula, you don't think about it that way, but we do. And it can feel a little bit like an island sometimes, even though it might not exactly be, that, the wrong road becomes impassable and disaster response can be dramatically affected. As everybody who lived through Ivan, I did not, but everybody who did certainly knows with I-10. The main reason I wanted to have you on today, actually it's kind of ironic, the scheduling, but I had wanted to ask you about Pulse Point, which, if people are not familiar, Pulse Point was an app on your phone where you could watch in real time all of the local emergency response, from cardiac calls, EMS, fire. It would even tell you the number of trucks involved and who was on the scene and all of this stuff. It was a really great resource for those of us who were concerned about such things. And then one day it wasn't there anymore. It just kind of stopped working. And you're like, what's going on? And it said, well, temporarily unavailable. Well, how temporarily? Okay, so I wanted to ask you about that. What happened to Pulse Point, Eric?
Okay, so we were spinning around 14.
You know what, 14, Eric, hang on. I'm going to get a traffic break, and then you can okay me all you like, because I know this is a long explanation.
Okay. All right, so we were running Pulse Point for about 4 years. We were spending around $14,000 a year on Pulse Point. Now, the intent of Pulse Point was to have community involvement, and anybody who was CPR trained or could render aid, the intent was if you were in the area, you would get the notification that there was a cardiac arrest or some kind of emergency in your area, that maybe you could stop and assist and render aid. In four years of running that app,
okay. The purpose was not just to give Andrew McKay awareness of what ECFR was doing. The purpose was that all the people who have citizen skills and could respond to an emergency that was close to them could set it up to be notified that, hey, we got this incident coming. Come help if you can. And you're saying in 4 years that never happened?
That is absolutely correct.
Okay, all right.
That's right. So the major use of the app was the public, which is, like I said, putting our information out, it's always good information.
Yep.
Watch what this regard. No, everybody liked it. If there was a backup on the interstate or on one of our roads or something, they would pull up Pulse Point to see if anything went on in that general direction. And that's great. But for $14,000 a year, that's not something that I'm getting return on investment. The other major use of it was our fire system. Our guys were getting pre-alerts with Pulse Point, which means on the call taker side, when you call 911, you first talk to a call taker. While that call taker is building that call out, Pulse Point would take that early notification and push it out to the masses that there's this situation going on. So our fire units would get, say, 3 to 4 minute earlier response from then dispatch, actually dispatching them, so that you use it for early response. So
wait, so because of the way the calls are processed, firemen were getting two to 3 to 4 minute lead on the actual official dispatch order because of the way Pulse Point was operating within the system. Is that right?
That is absolutely
correct.
Because
that's a huge advantage fighting fires. Okay, all right, cool. I'm listening. Go ahead.
Nope, it is. You're absolutely right. So they've taken that information and going, okay, so the public is not using it to respond or render aid if they're in the area. The fire guys and our emergency system, they like it for the pre-alert, early notification. What can we do? What's out there? So we looked around and we found I am responding. So I am responding. And anybody who played with Pulse Point knows that it's not interactive. It is just information only. So you just get a flash of what where the incident is, what the major category of the incident is, and who's on scene. So we looked around and found I am responding. I am responding does that pre-alert just like Pulse Point. So our fire guys don't miss the pre-alert.
Okay.
So they'll get the early notification.
Got it.
But Pulse Point also has an interactive side to it. So our volunteer firefighters and anybody who's set up in the group, it's a subscriber base, and we're spending around $4,500 a year for this app for us to be interactive and for our units to be able to respond to each other. That I one click on, I am responding, and it'll show you the mapping to the incident. It'll show you who's en route to you. You can message inside the group, so it's more interactive. It meets our need to our emergency services, and though the public can't see it because it's subscription use only. But like I said, we were not getting a return on investment. So we was trying to find something that was amenable to do what Pulse Point did for our emergency response, to do pre-alerts, but also be interactive and help us out with notifications to the volunteers, and then the volunteers can interact with each other and know who's responding to the station to grab a truck or get to a scene.
Okay, so the goal of having the Pulse Point wasn't accomplished, the main goal of getting people to help out. The incidental benefit of Pulse Point was the early response. That's available in the I Am Responding app as well, so that was kept. You're saving $9,500 a year, and you've got an app that is much more interactive for the people who need to know and people who need to be involved in it. And the only real downside of all this is, in saving the money and getting a really more useful app, just that we, the public, because we're not subscribers, we don't have a login, and so we don't have access to the public information. But that wasn't the purpose of it in the first place anyway. So, okay, all right, that makes sense to me.
That is the best synopsis you could. Yes, sir. That's exactly what it is. So
okay.
It's nothing. Unfortunately, I would like the information to be out there to the public, but until we can, maybe there's an app or to develop it where it'll be more not subscriber based, more user based, mm-hmm. with a better rate. We're still looking. We're always looking to improve, and that's why we come up with this, to see how this works with us, interacts with us, and how we can improve our system and keep our pre-alerts, because that was important. That was definitely important to the fire guys. So. That way we can get that early notification.
Yeah, in all the times we've talked about fire response, getting 3 extra minutes ahead of schedule is an enormous advantage in fighting fires. Because what is the rule? It's a doubling in a minute, right, once the fire is underway?
That is absolutely correct, Andrew.
Okay.
You listen.
So yes, that's a big deal. All right. Well, I appreciate it. And I appreciate you explaining that, because I know a lot of people have been asking me, Andrew, you know what happened to, Pulse Point? I'm like, it's still there. I just don't think we're participating in it anymore. But now that we understand that as well. Hey, I always like to give you a chance to brag on the department. I know we just got the Lucas devices. Those automatic compression devices are on our EMS trucks now. We're working on the Paradise Beach location for the new firehouse. We're working on still number 2 over there on 9 Mile Road. Anything else you just want to let people know about that's going on, Eric?
No, I mean, it's absolutely phenomenal what we've got going on right now with the new Station 2, Beulah being built over there. I do want to brag about the Lucas devices, because that was a package with the ALS 360. When we did the ALS 360, the 10-year lock-in pricing, and we get new equipment in 5 years, and then we own it at the end of it. So all our ambulances now have Lucas devices. On the last board meeting, we had to go back to the board and ask for an amendment to the contract, because we are ordering 8 new ambulances that should be in, we're hoping, August of this year. So I had to get more equipment to go on the 8 new ambulances that we're bringing in. And then we got six more coming on the backside of it, but we don't know what the build time is on those. So we do have our first three fire trucks that we ordered back in 2021?
Yeah.
They'll be in town. They'll be in town next month and have those things put to service and put the hoses on and get those trucks to service. So we got a ladder, an engine, and a squad. So we're excited to have those three additional pieces of equipment coming in town next month and getting those things in service. And then we'll have that ladder truck that we was fortunate to get sometime in October, November time frame that we were looking forward to get that and put into service as well. So we got a lot of equipment coming in. We got a lot of good things going on. We're pretty excited.
We'll see what
the budget holds for us.
Where's the squad going to be deployed? That's the one that has all of the different equipment to be able to rescue people and get people out of trenches and entrapments and all that kind of stuff. There's one over at Marcus Point right now. Where's that squad going to be? Do you know?
So yes, I do. So we've got three. It'll be the third squad in the county. So we've got a north, central, south squad. So it'll be going to McDavid Station 9 in the north end of the county. So it'll run, Cantonment, Molina, Walnut Hill, Century, McDavid area. Those guys will have the specialty equipment. They'll be trained on the specialty equipment. Then we got squad 3, that's at Marcus Point on W Street.
Yeah.
And then we got squad 14, which is down at Pleasant Grove. So
okay.
We'll have a north, central, south squad. That way those trucks can carry more of the heavy rescue equipment and not have to burden all the other engines in the area with the duplicate equipment. So that was the intended purpose of the squad system.
Perfect. Well, Eric, I know it's always good information. I could talk to you for an hour because it's just important stuff and there's always news going on. But Eric Gilmore, he is the Escambia County Director of Public Safety. Eric, as always, man, thanks for what you do, keeping us safe. Thanks for helping out yesterday. And please pass along, as always, my thanks to everybody who works for you for what they do for this county, sir. I appreciate it.
I want to do that. Thank you very much for what you do for informing the citizens and getting information. I do appreciate it very much, sir. Thank you.
Certainly, certainly. 551 on News Radio 92.3. And again, I just don't want to make sure it doesn't get said enough. Yeah, I did that right. You have 7 days. Be 1 week ready. That's the idea. Be prepared for 7 days. That's a gallon of water per person in the household, okay? Food, water, you got to be prepared for 7 days on your own. Because remember, in Michael, there were people who were without access for quite a while. So just, you know, remember, Sally was pretty light compared to what things can happen. So that's what they're saying now is not 72. They're saying not 72 hours, not 3 days, 7 days. That is one of the key messages. And we've been trying to tell you that for a couple of years now, but I know old habits die hard. It's hard to remember the new stuff all the time. 437-1620. If you're getting ready to buy that next used vehicle, or maybe you're planning to buy a new car and you hear me talking about Frontier and you're like, oh, so I can save money and get a car that would be the same car I'm going to buy, but in a year. Interesting. Okay, well, that's what we did. You know, we went to Frontier because they had selection. They had, they were the only ones that had the car that we wanted to buy. Now, we weren't trying to buy it. That's the funny thing. We didn't need it for another 6 months because our old Grand Caravan that we'd had for 15 years was, that was going to go away, but not right now. Like, it had a failing head gasket, but it was going to be good for another 6 months. We just wanted to test drive a Honda Odyssey. The ones that were older than the one-year-old that we wanted to drive, they were not the right year model. The ones that were of the one, you couldn't drive because the Honda pre-owned certified, they had to clean them up before they could sell them. There was a waiting list, so they were basically sold before you could drive them. And then the new ones were different, so we couldn't test it. So it was like very frustrating. We called it our unicorn trying to find one. We found one. It was the right color. That was amazing. And we looked at it. We loved it. What was the price? It was good. They came down. Give us a day. Come down again. Can we buy it? I mean, like, it was really that easy to buy the car because it was such a smoking deal, and the car has been fantastic ever since we've had it. So if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier has great selection, 300 good quality cars on the lot, about a year or two old is very typical, low prices, low miles, great condition, and that's what they specialize in. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Someday, and that day may never come, I'll call upon you to do a service for me. But until that day, accept this justice as a gift on my daughter's wedding day.
Good morning, 557 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, as we're keeping an eye on the News Radio ThreatNet radar with this blob of activity out over the Panama City region. We're kind of anticipating this is going to bring us some rain, and we're not figuring it's likely to form in, you know, to an actual named storm, but it is kind of a hot mess out there off into the Gulf, and hopefully it's going to move to the south. That's the plan. At least that's what Alan Strom was saying last night. So I'll take that as good news, basically, since it is, you know, hurricane season starting today. No, thank you. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Virginia will be sending National Guard troops to the U.S. border in Texas. Governor Glenn Youngkin said yesterday he's sending 100 troops to the border after a briefing from Texas Governor Greg Abbott. Republican House Leader Kevin McCarthy applauding the House's passage of the debt ceiling bill yesterday. McCarthy says history was made with Wednesday's vote. And after that vote, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell tweeted, now it's the Senate's turn to pass the agreement without delay. And FedEx has now reportedly reached a new contract agreement with its pilots.
The company says there's a tentative agreement with the pilots union that will help the company deliver outstanding service to customers around the world. The agreement prevents a potential strike. 2 weeks back, thousands of FedEx pilots voted in favor of one. An overwhelming majority of the company's 6,000 pilots have demanded the company match industry standards for pilot pay. I'm Michael Kastner.
So it looks like another pilot strike averted.
I'll take it. That's good. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 5:58 on News Radio 92.3. Yeah, are you Lord of the Rings guy, David, at all? Lord of the Rings?
Not really.
Gracie, you Lord of the Rings?
No,
I'm all alone up in here. Okay. And I had only read The Hobbit. I'd never read the books until after the movies, or I think maybe in preparation for the movies. So I was not like that guy carrying them around in high school, reading them over and over again. I had friends like them. And yet now here the sudden controversy is that Magic the Gathering has a new Aragorn card. He's black. Viggo Mortensen is black now in the card. So people are kind of concerned, and I think, yeah. Okay. Although it's one of these things where, like, he's described as white, but sort of barely, like, described that way briefly in the books. So it isn't accurate to the fictional story that Tolkien created. But, you know, people get upset about their things, and I understand. So just letting you know, that's out there as a kind of a issue maybe right now.
Your home for Dave Ramsey. Weekdays 1 to 4 is News Radio 92.3 WNRP.